I want to kind of get a little serious this morning and kind of getting into the message. God is one of these. I'm trying to preach to the book of Romans, and every now and then God will take me on a little side. You understand what that's all about, ain't you, Bradley? I mean, you think, okay, I'm going to preach to this such and such book, and then you get ready to study out the next message, and you're going, that's not it. That's not where it's at. And God kind of gave me a word this morning and kind of helped me out a little bit. But what I want to do is I want to go back. And I am trying to remember right now, because I was praying about it, God, you know, kind of lead in this message. I'm thinking, let's see here, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to kind of touch on some things that I mentioned last Sunday morning and kind of let that lead into the message this morning and the word that God gave me. The Bible says preach the word, so I'm going to preach one word this morning to us, and hopefully be a blessing. But I asked a while ago, how many of you want to go to heaven when you die? Or even, I'd like to go to heaven without dying. I think that'd be a pretty good deal. Amen? And that the Lord promises that. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And I think it would be great to go to heaven when you die. I think it would be wonderful to go to heaven without seeing death. And God promises that. God provided the way, because he actually, Christ got victory over death in his death. When he died on the cross, he defeated the power of death there at the cross. And so I want to go to heaven when I die. You think about that. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 11, I think is where I want to be. He says earlier in verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Okay? And then he talks about things. You have to remember that these Israelites, a lot of them, they got to the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea in their sight, and they walked across the middle of the ocean on dry ground. Never been done before. They saw that. They saw the fire and the smoke, and they heard the sound up on Mount Sinai. They saw Moses coming down with the glory of God shining out of his face. They received manna from heaven. God was literally feeding them, feeding their physical bodies. They would wake up one morning and there would just be this food laying all over the place on the ground. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to do anything. It was just there. God was providing them sustenance in the wilderness. And yet some of them got out there and they said, we don't want to be here. We want to go back. Okay? And everybody says, oh man, they didn't have what I have. Well, I want to tell you something. You ain't got what you got either. Okay? Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. You don't have it all the time. And I want you to think about instances in your life where you wanted to give up. You didn't want to go there anymore. Okay? You felt like quitting. Felt like walking out. Maybe, I'm not going to dwell on this a whole lot, but maybe in a marital situation, you said, forget it. I don't need this. Okay? I don't need this. I'm out of here. And you felt like leaving. Okay? You felt like leaving. I probably am safe to say there's probably not a couple in this room that hasn't felt that way. Okay? I probably am safe to say that. Okay? Because it happens. And if it happens in a marriage, it'll happen in our spiritual life. Okay? Maybe you've had a job situation where you said, you know what? I've had it. I'm out of here. I'm done. Okay. This is over with. I've had it. I've done that before in a job situation. And to be honest with you, I've been here about 14, 15, 16 years, something like that. I've wanted to do it here. Not often, but I've wanted to just, I'm out. I'm done. I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm out of here. Or I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm not cut out for this. And I just wanted to get out and leave. Okay? There's been times when the spiritual pressure has been on me so bad. My wife knows about them. There's been several times when the spiritual, the whatever you want to call it, the attack or whatever, has been on me so strong that I've spent a day or two or 3 days just almost incapacitated because I didn't want to leave, but the pressure to get me out was so overwhelming, I almost couldn't take it. The first time that ever happened, and I'm just being honest with you, the first time that ever happened was years ago, right after I became pastor of this church. And I'm going to tell you what I got into. I'm going to tell you something. The devil was just walking all over me. And I just wanted to get out. I wanted to get out of everything and run off to, I don't know, Alaska somewhere. I mean, that's just what it was. And I remember I had used to go back here to pray, to get away from everybody. Used to go back there and just really just spend some time with the Lord and pray. And that's why I told you this morning, we sing them old songs that, you know, I come to the garden. How? Alone. Get alone with God. Amen. Talk this stuff out. But I was back there one time and I want to tell you something. I mean, the devil was just walking all over me. And I just prayed, God, I can't take it. God, I just do something. And then what dawned on me was a verse of scripture. I'm going to tell you, this Bible's it. Amen. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And I'm the shepherd of not just the church, but of my family and different things like that. But I'll tell you what it did was, it made me mad. It made me mad at the devil. I'm going, well, I know what this is now. Boy, I tell you what, I pulled out my sword and I put my shield of faith on and my breastplate of righteousness, and I put the helmet on and I put the shoes on and I said, come on, let's go. You want, if that's what this is about, then let's get this going. Amen. And I found out that once I took a stand, boy, the devil, he cannot handle you taking a stand. Because when you stand, you're standing still and you've determined that you're not moving. Okay? Yeah. Have you ever been in a traffic situation where you pulled out into an intersection and you thought you had the right of way and somebody else come out there and you just said, you know what? I ain't moving. Back it up, buddy. Okay? And that's what, that's what that means. That means back it up. Because I'm not moving. Okay? And here's what I'm telling you. This fits right in with with the word that God gave me. Is when you finally decide that you're going to stand like God commands us to stand, you decide, I'm not the one going anywhere. I'm not moving. I'm not budging. I'm not changing my mind. Amen? It's not going to be, if somebody's moving, devil, it's going to have to be you because I'm not going anywhere. And I want to tell you something. You cannot do that in the power of your own flesh. God has to stand you. Because we have feeble knees. And we don't stand very well on our own. Somebody say amen. So what you'll never hear me preach out of this church house is, boy, our own self-will and self-ability. And I don't preach that very much. What I preach is God helping me stand. And back, I was back there, and I mean it just like that. The Word of God came to me, and I did. As soon as it dawned on me, I did. I stood up. I thought, well, that's not going to happen. Now, I want to tell you what, it was right after, I mean, the devils just started going everywhere. They left. And God enabled me to stay put. You will have times in your life when you don't feel like being a Christian anymore. Be honest. You already have had times. But you didn't feel like being a Christian. Didn't feel like coming to church. Didn't feel like, I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like praying. What I feel like doing is whatever this flesh tells me is telling me that I really want to do right now. Nod your head, say amen, or just sit there real quiet because I know God's dealing with you. Okay? So he said in verse 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but with many of them God was not well pleased for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And you know why? They didn't want to stay. They wanted to leave. They wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Everybody in this, and the older you get, young people, listen to me, you're building life habits right now. You're building a truckload of them. And I promise you, you're going to get down the road and you're going to wish to God that when you were young, you didn't pile in some of the stuff that you're piling in right now. Somebody, I want to hear an amen out of you adults. Okay? Maybe I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'm following this homeless guy that's on YouTube and on TV and stuff. I'm following this guy. And you know what I'm doing? I'm praying for him. He is a dope head. He's an alcoholic. And I really think that he wants help, but you can't help yourself. And I, you know, treatment centers are one thing, but the power of God getting in you is something else. And I want this guy to be right with God. But he's in his 50s now, and he's lost his wife. He's lost his children. He has lost. He has an amazing voice. And he will probably tell every young person that he finds, don't do this. Don't take that drink. Don't light that cigarette. Amen. Don't buy those pills. Don't do that stuff. They will tell you over and over because they can't help themselves anymore. But anyway, they left. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to leave. Now look at verse 11. Now all these things happened to them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And I want to preach to you a little bit of encouragement this morning and let you know that you're not done. How can I say this and say it in the right way? If things are going well with you right now in your walk with the Lord, amen, praise the Lord! Because you're fixing to be back again. It's cycles. And if you don't believe that, ask yourself, how has it happened every single time before today? You haven't always felt holy and spiritual and right with God. You haven't always read your Bible. You haven't always said, God, I just want to praise you. I feel so wonderful today. And I know we get to those points and we think, whew, man, it's finally over. I'm never going to leave, ever. Never want to have a bad thought, never have a bad word, never, it's never going to happen again. Then here it comes. Am I telling you the truth? Take heed. Take heed. Those of you who are on the mountainside today, take heed. Because it doesn't take a whole lot for us to go tumbling down. Somebody say amen. Boy, I tell you what, Lord, show me where to go here. Take your Bible. We're going to turn to two places here very quickly. John chapter 15. So you turn there, and then we're going to go to Psalm 61. And I just going to touch on a word this morning. I'm just going to teach the Bible and maybe preach a little bit, but just teach you the Bible and teach you some principles that will hopefully help you. Everybody here says they want to go to heaven. We're not there yet. We're not in Canaan land yet. Okay? God's willing to lead us. He's feeding us along the way. He's doing everything in the world. But I believe in free will. Okay? I believe that man has a choice. You are in the process of making that choice even right now. You're in the process. Life is that one big giant process of making that choice. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? We're making the choices right now by the things that we're doing or not doing. We're making our choice. We're making our bed, and at some point we're going to have to sleep in it. We're making those choices right now. Okay? And so I just want you to be encouraged and taught some things out of the Scripture that we take heed. If we're standing, because there will come a time, maybe this week, maybe God is going to prepare somebody in this room for something that's going to show up Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. And you're not going to feel so spiritual as you do this morning. And you should take heed if you're standing, lest ye fall. John chapter 15, are we there? Say amen. I am the true vine. And you know what that implies? There's a false one. He wouldn't have to tell you he's the true vine. He'd just say, I'm the vine. I'm it. Okay. He said, I am the true vine. And that implies that there's a false one. And there's a lot of things in this world that you and I can get nourished by that's not good for us. Amen. I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He is the owner of the vineyard. He owns the land. It's all his. Okay. And God is the one who's calling the shots and making the decisions here about it, who's fruitful and who's not. But verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. How many of you have been through some purging before? Say amen. Not every little leaf that you grow is good. Okay? I don't know of too many wineries that have grape leaf wine. Amen? I wouldn't think that's very good. Okay? Not every little leaf and every little thing, every little branch that you got growing out of you is a good thing. So the Heavenly Father, as the husbandman, as the pruner, is going to come in your life and he's going to get his old shears out. He's going to start pruning some things out of your life. And maybe you don't like that, but God, listen, God wants you to be fruitful. How many of you believe that? Say amen. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to bear fruit in your life, and he knows how to do it. You don't. So he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now verse 4, look at this, and underline these three words in this verse. Abide in me. Abide in me. In fact, I want us to pray right now and ask God to help me preach this message and deliver it in such a way that it makes sense physically to you, but that the Holy Ghost will deliver it to your heart. And you accept it, but let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, God, this morning to bless your word. Father, it's not by my power, my might, my abilities or anything like that, God. It is through your spirit and through this book right here. And I'm asking you, God, Lord, let it make sense to me. Let it deal with me and help me. Let it make sense to these people. Let it deal with them and encourage them, God. Because, Father, Lord, we're not there yet, but we want to be. And help us, dear God, in those times, dear God, when we don't feel right with you, and we don't feel like staying. We don't feel like hanging on. God, teach us to abide in you. And help us. Help me preach this message the way this Bible says it, and not anybody else. Help me to preach the word this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, I just kind of, let me ask you very quickly. Does anybody know what the word abide means? What does the word abide mean? It's real simple. It probably means what you think it means. Staying. Okay? If I am biding my time, B-I-D-I-N-G, if I'm biding my time, that means I'm just kind of hanging on until something finally gives. Everybody understand? You've used that phrase before, or maybe you were supposed to meet somebody, and so you pulled up to the place you were going to meet them at, and you just decided you're just going to wait out, because not everybody owns a clock. Amen. So we're supposed to have church at 10:45, but I'm going to be patient and bide the time and wait for y'all, some of y'all to show up. Amen, and praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, there's no time clocks here at Bethel Church. Amen. So we're just going to kind of hang tight. We're not going to leave. We're not going to do anything like that. We're just biding our time. The word abide means you're going to stay. You're going to long suffer. It even has this implication. You're going to put up with some things. How about that in a marriage? Amen. When you listen, and I'm just think about the different levels this could be on. But when you decide that you're going to abide in your marriage, that means that sometimes you're going to have to put up with some things that you thought you shouldn't have put up with, and that probably came out of your mouth. Listen, I don't have to put up with this. Amen. And you act like somebody you saw on some TV show somewhere. I don't have to put up with this. Okay, I'm telling you, if you want God to bless you, you do. Amen. She's not perfect, and you're not perfect, and you do things that makes her mad, and she does things that makes you mad, and then the kids are making you mad all at the same time. But I don't see anybody kicking their kids out to get out. Okay? You felt like it. And some of you kids felt like kicking, get out. Amen. Amen. Okay? But it's best to stay. It's best to long suffer with people that you love. It's best to put up with them. It's best when you decide that you're not going to go anywhere, that you're not going to leave. And I want to tell you something. God will bless you for that. God will put something in you that you never had before. If you'll just remember in your marriage, who is it that's trying to get you to leave? It ain't God. That's not the Holy Spirit. So, I prayed and fasted for 3 days and I believe God wants me to get me a divorce. Now, sometimes it's inevitable. Sometimes it just happens. But I'm telling you, the devil just worked in a situation and sometimes makes it a possible situation. And I understand that. But I'm telling you, if you'll stay as long as you can, God will fill in the blanks. Okay? I'm trying to encourage you. And it's that way in church. It's that way in our spiritual life and our spiritual well-being as well. If you'll just, in the times when you don't want to stay, stay. The times that you don't want to pray, pray. Amen? And listen, and there are times when the Spirit's on us, boy, we just feel wonderful and we can come down and we can just pray and pray and pray and all tell God how wonderful the world is and how great it is that He's done for us. And we just pray and pray and pray and have a sweet time in the Lord. But not every time is like that. And did you know that God has provisions for that in His Word? That when you don't want to pray, then it's as simple as saying, God, help! How many of you believe that? Say amen. Do not believe these rascals on television, and that includes Joyce Myers and Joel Osteen, that will blink their eyes and look at you and tell you that the reason why it's not happening for you is you didn't say all the right words with the right attitude with God. That's witchcraft. It's phony. It's out of hell. It's bringing you into bondage. Somebody say amen. You don't always feel spiritual. You don't always feel right with God. But you have an awareness in you that if you'll just say, God, help me, God will help. Amen. In fact, it's not our words that invokes God, it's the tears. Amen? It's our tears. Michaela over there. She's just happy as a lark right now. She's eating a book. She's just happy as a lark. And she may want something right now, and you know with her, when she wants something, what's she gonna do, Mama? Okay? Just like that with those two, this with God. God knows we're serious when He sees the tears running down our eyes. We say, God help. Somebody say amen. But there's times that we just want to quit and we don't want to hang in there. And the promise, listen to this now, the promises that are given here are promises based upon, here, the verse 4 again, He's telling us, abide in me. Abide in me. And you know me, I got the three deals, prayer and Bible reading. Prayer and Bible reading. Prayer and Bible reading. You want to know what abiding in Christ is? Pray, read your Bible. Pray, read your Bible. Pray, read your Bible. And I'm not saying church attendance, because if you'll pray and read your Bible, the car's pulling in Sunday morning. Amen. When you're praying and reading your Bible, here comes the car. Hey, we're here at church. Okay? I'm just telling you, that's how it works. Okay? Prayer and Bible reading. That is abiding in Him. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. And you run into all these people all the time and say, well, I'm a Christian. I just don't go to church and read my Bible and pray. And do everything else that every other Christian in the world thinks they have to do. I am a Christian, but I don't do those things. Listen, no branch can bear fruit of itself. It's impossible. Amen? What happens when the husbandman prunes off a branch off the vine and he casts it away? Does he come back there at harvest time and say, well, lo and behold, that thing grew grapes? You know what he does with what he does cut off? Cast it into the fire. You ought to think about that for a while. Amen? So he says, except abide in the vine, no man can, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He's telling you that those who abide in him, and God, and it works both ways. See, God is never taking anybody against their will to heaven. Amen. You won't go if you don't want to go. He's not dragging you, kicking you. You're not going against your will. So it works on both. It takes two. Because how many parts of the Bible do we have? It takes two, doesn't it? It takes Christ working in you and you having a desire for Christ to work in you. They do not work separate from one another. God gave us a choice. And you have a choice right now. You can either say, you know what? I've had it. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm not staying. I'm not serving God anymore. It's probably nothing but heartache. I'm going to go out and live like the world's living and do whatever I want to. You know what? You're welcome to do it. Knock yourself out. I'll tell you where you'll end up. I don't recommend it. Okay? But it takes two. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. But you have to decide you're going to stay. You have to decide that you're going to abide. This message kind of came on me. And I guess God was just kind of throwing everything in all at once. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 61. And we're going to turn a couple more places here, then we're going to get out of here. Listen, if you're here in our church and you've attended other churches before, this is not really intended as a slam. But I've known people in all the years that I've been in church, been a Christian. Probably some of you too. Gary, you probably know somebody. Mom, I mean, how many people that came to this church when I was a kid? How many of you are actually in church right now to begin with? Very few. Okay? And some, and I've seen this over the years, they're what I call vagabond church members. They come to this church for a while, and they get mad and they don't like it. Then they go to this church for a while and they get mad and they don't like it. Then they go to such and such church for a while. And I remember years ago we had a couple here that had a couple kids. And they come in here all big, high and mighty and everything like that. And all of a sudden wanting us to bow down to them and do everything in the world for them and say things the right way for them and this and that and the other. Well, you know how small churches are. I mean, people walk in the door. I mean, we want to be nice to everybody. We need memberships here. Amen. Okay. Need somebody to help us to sing the songs and things like that. But I'm telling you, at some point, this guy came to me. He didn't like something that was going on here. So you know what he did? He came to me and he said, you know, Brother Mike and some of the other churches we went to, we used to do this. And my immediate thought was, go back. Go back. If you're not happy, you know, they weren't happy here. You know, by the way, I'm preaching this because they're not here. And they haven't been here in years. And they're not coming back. You know what their deal was? We were probably about the fourth or fifth church that they had been to. And I'm not saying they came for a Sunday and left and visited. And we've had people like that. Some people come in here, oh, let's try this church out. And they tried it out one time, they're out. Amen. It's not for them. But anyway, I'm talking about people come in here and they sit here for about a year or two, something like that. And they want you to do everything in the world to please them and pacify them. But the truth of it is, they did that at the other church and they're out of there. They were doing that at the church before that and they're out of there. And they're constantly on the move and their kids are suffering for it because they have no sure foundation in their life. They're not getting a consistent preaching anywhere. And no pastor can get close enough to them because at some point he's going to say the wrong thing and they're going to be mad, they're going to be out, and they'll be talking about us at the next church. And I'm just telling you this, if you love Bethel, stay. Abide with us. Amen. And if you don't, no hard feelings, move down the road where God can nourish you and plant you and put you in good places. Somebody say amen. But if you have a problem in your life of just bouncing around here and there, well, this and that and the other, you've got a problem. You don't know how to abide. You don't know how to stay. You don't know how to be planted. You're like those seeds that are sown on stony ground. And you have no root. You know what you're teaching your kids? The pattern of your life is setting is, I'll do this until it doesn't please me anymore, then I'm out. And this is how some people are in a marriage. This is why some people have married 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Is that I'll stay with you until you stop pleasing me and then I'm out of here because I don't have to put up with this. Because, I mean, really the pattern of your life is you can find anybody. But can you stay? And do you want to stay? Are you with me? Let's turn it off to the Lord. You set yourself a consistent pattern in your life where you're not known for sticking around very long. And then you come up and show and try to make everybody convinced that you're a real spiritual person. You're a good Christian and this and that and the other. And God's sitting up in heaven laughing at you. Because there's nothing in your life that is consistent. And as soon as God stops pleasing you, you're out. You'll go somewhere else. I know a guy right now. Boy, I wish I could mention his name. He came to this church. He was in terrible trouble. All he was having health problems. I mean, just had him down. And you know me, I mean, I took him under my wing and prayed with him and tried to pray healing into him and this and that and the other and nurtured him, befriended him and things like that. And he was here for a little while, him and his wife. And boy, something else came along. Some other big disaster came along that I couldn't help him with. But he went after the person that did help him. And now I want to tell you, I couldn't even, boy, some of you would know the name if I said the name, but he is so far gone right now, it's not even funny. Nothing consistent in his life. And he is so far removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ now, it's not even funny where this guy is. How many of y'all want to be that way? Say amen. I don't want to be that way. Amen. Psalm 61. Here's what the Bible says. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That sounds like good prayer. Amen. That's not praying. God, give me $1 billion in the bank account so I can feel good about myself. Okay. Verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Look what he said. Look at verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. David had come to a point in his life where he said, you know what? I'm not serving other gods anymore. I've had it. I'm not doing it no more. I'm done. Those days are over with. And I've decided that I will abide in the house of the Lord or in the tabernacle forever. You need to come to the place in your life where you decided, this is it. This is the road that I'm walking on. And I know that God has to help you, just like God has helped me at times in my life. When God, the Holy Ghost came in the office and said, my King James Bible is the Word of God. I said, I'm in. And I'm in for good. Because how many preachers do we know, Gary, that, oh, we're King James? Until later on down the road. When the rest of the clan starts moving in the other direction, they start moving with them. And now the preachers that we thought we could count on, we can't count on them anymore because they're not staying. They've left. They didn't abide. But see how subtle the devil is. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. And it's talking about Christ being the king. Christ is going to stay. He's not going to leave. And all of those who want to be in Christ are going to have to decide they're going to stay. Amen? You're going to have to make up your mind. In fact, make up your mind when things are feeling real good. And just shoot off a little prayer. God, I'm feeling pretty good today, and I feel pretty spiritual, and I feel pretty close to you. God, I've been around the block long enough to know that it's not going to last very long. And so, God, while I'm strong, please don't forget me when I'm weak. Amen. I've prayed that prayer many a times. God, I'm feeling pretty good today. Thank you. Thank you for the joy that you've given in my life. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have given me. And thank you, Lord, that you've been faithful to me when I haven't been faithful to you. And oh, by the way, there's another week coming. I don't know what's going to happen next month. But I have a feeling that I'll not be as weak or I'll not be as strong as I am today. And God, when I get there, please don't forget me. And don't forget to bring me back. Somebody say amen. Turn to Psalm 91. How many of you really think that it's possible some bad things could happen in this country? I think, Jimmy, I think if the truth be known, just how teetottering our economy is, I think if the truth be known, it'd probably scare us sick just how bad our economy is. and at any moment it could go. There are nations in this world that still hate us, and they're growing, and they're aligning themselves. Iran and Russia sat down at the table, and they just decided that they wanted to be buddies. Well, here's a nation that hated us for years and has all the atomic weapons in the world, and here's a nation that hates us fiercely right now and needs them. We live in a country where we don't grow food anymore, and now we have a law on the books that just went through, the food safety bill, that's going to make sure that if you grow your own food, the government will own it if they want it. See, they total control. How many of you believe that? It's the world we live in right now. Okay? So if something happened and the grocery stores were shut down, me and you starving to death. You more so than me. You will die quicker than I will. Okay? See, I'm planning ahead. God forgive me, that's a lie. I know it. All right? Okay? They hate us. They could detonate weapons of mass destruction in cities all across it. I don't know why they haven't been doing it yet, other than the sovereign hand of God has stayed them. But I'm telling you, they have access to some of the most terrible things that can do the worst things in the world to the human body. They have access to, and at some point, I believe, according to the scriptures, I think it's going to be used in this country. God's going to turn this country into Sodom and Gomorrah. You wait and see. Are you scared? If you're scared, abide. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And look at what happens when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers and under His wing. And by the way, does God have feathers? Bible says He does. How so? How is it that the Holy Ghost appeared on the day that Jesus was baptized? He's got feathers, amen. This Bible's right, somebody say amen. It's not a metaphor. God, the Holy Spirit, has got feathers just like a dove. And He'll cover us with those. How does a bird cover her nest, fluttereth over her young? That's how God said He was going to do it. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's the King James Bible. Somebody say amen. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. And some of you said, well, I'm afraid those days will come. You're afraid and it's not even happening. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm telling you that when it happens, you won't be afraid. Woo! I'm telling you, you won't be afraid. So don't be afraid of being afraid. If you're abiding, you have nothing to fear. And God will not allow you to be afraid. Man, I like that. Now, so how many of you think you ought to stay? Say amen. All right, it's noon. Let's stay another couple hours. A couple of you getting spiritual. I want to go to one. I got a whole bunch of verses here, but I want to close this. I got one more verse here. I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 7. Okay? I like to show the differences in the Bible. God showed me contrasts in the Bible. Okay? A little candle doesn't look very bright until there's a lot of darkness in the world. So don't think that you're not being a benefit to the kingdom of God because you're just a little candle. Because I'm telling you, the world is growing ever darker. And in a completely, totally dark room, when you light that candle, it's a lifesaver. Because that's all it takes. Okay? So I like to show you contrasts in the Bible. The Holy Ghost in you, giving you the ability to abide, giving you the desire to abide, and you say, I want to abide in Christ. I don't want to leave. That's how you can tell the Holy Ghost is operating in your life. There is another spirit. She's a her. Okay? And I'm not trying to be mean, but God gives us visual demonstrations of His Word. Okay? Let's say that Jared and Chris, no, I won't use Jared and Chris. Because I can see Chris pulling out a gun and shooting somebody, okay? Let's say Joe and Rose, okay? Let's say Rose got woke up 2 o'clock in the morning and she heard somebody coming in through the window. All of you that know Rose, okay, you could hold a plastic spider 10 feet away from her and she's under the pillows, okay? Now, Joe, I mean, he's ex-military, he's fought in a war, knows how to handle himself, okay? So, when the alarm sounds, the alarm, Rose, okay? When the alarm sounds, who's going to run and hide and who's going to take a stand? Okay? And God just kind of gives us this. He talks about, in Proverbs, He talks about these two women in the book of Proverbs. One is wisdom. Wisdom is a blessing. Amen. Wisdom is our near kinsman, our sister and all this stuff. And she'll hold things together. The other woman in the book of Proverbs is called a strange woman. She's a harlot. She is Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And the Bible says of her, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Okay? And that is exactly how it is in some of these vagabond church members, is that you can tell what spirit is leading them. Because you can never count on them. Are you listening to me? You can tell what spirit is in their life because you can never count on them. These are the kind of people, let's just talk about daily life for a minute. These are the kind of people that if you say, hey, I need you to show up at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, I really need this done, or I need to meet you at 2 o'clock, you can almost bet that they're either going to be there at 3:30 or they're not going to show up at all. How many of you know somebody like that? And I'll tell you, if you are somebody like that, you can get help for it. Because one of the things this Bible does, it takes the chaos out of our lives and puts order in our lives. Do you believe that? This Bible's in order. And if you will get this Bible in your life, all of a sudden things will start to sort of be in order in your life. Okay? I'm trying to help you out. Little help here, okay? But her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. And I want you to notice the description given to us here in Proverbs chapter 7. Man, I'll get there here in a minute. And then I'm going to close out of here. Okay? In verse 6, I want you to look at this. Here's the harlot spirit. I want you to notice how she's described. Proverbs 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through the casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. That means he didn't read his Bible. Amen. Didn't read his Bible, went to movies all the time and give me somebody they listen to. Marilyn Manson. Okay? Or Slipknot. That guy that Jared Loughner, he's listening to a group called Slipknot. I just looked at the album covers. I just looked at the names of the songs. No wonder he shot those people. They told him to. I'm not kidding. Get that junk out of your house. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house because he knew where she was. Okay? In the twilight, think about that. In the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Who's more subtle than any beast of the field? Okay? You stop and think about this. She is loud. Look at verse 11 now. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet do what? Abide not in her house. You know what she is? She's married. She's married, and she's got a husband, and he takes pretty good care of her because she's got these nice clothes on. But while her husband's away, so is she. She don't mind staying home as long as her husband's home. But next time he says, honey, I got a business trip. She says, oh, honey, I don't want you to leave. But secretly she said, hurry up and get out. She's a harlot. She can't wait for the next guy to show up to lay in bed with. That's her spirit. A spirit that is driving you to where you have no consistency in your life. You have nothing that is right in your life. Everything about your life is just, I want to go here for a while. Now I want to go there for a while. Now I want to go there for a while. And I'm not talking about just all the realms of life. I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't decide whether you want to stay or leave. You ought to be careful. You might have the wrong spirit leading and guiding you, because her spirit will not abide in her house. She's always, listen to this now, married couples. She's always looking for the next Mr. So-and-so or the next Mrs. So-and-so. And we live in a world right now where people are married 2, 3, 4, 5 years and out. And then looking for the next one. And now, they're not even getting married anymore, are they? Why go through that? Okay? So they'll shack up for 2 or 3 years. And then when that runs out, they'll go find somebody else. And then when that runs out, they'll go find somebody else. Why? Because they have a spirit in them that cannot abide in the same house for very long. It's a vagabond spirit. They're always wandering and going astray. Always. And I don't know how to close this message out other than to encourage you. If you see, and let's just do it on a practical realm. If you see areas in your life that you see inconsistencies in, get them under prayer, get in a Bible, and lo and behold, I think this Bible can make a better worker out of you at the workplace. I believe that. I believe this Bible can make a better financial person in your home. I believe you'll be more consistent in paying your bills and taking care of your money. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen. Not everybody can do it. I can't do it. I don't write checks in my house. My wife does that. She's already got it. But there are areas in her life that is inconsistent. It's not my job to bring them out to her all the, honey, you're messing up again. Did you know that's not my job? You know whose job it is? And so if I see things that I think are inconsistent in my wife's life, you know who I'll go tell? I'll go pray for her. God, please help my wife. You know what I know about her? She's never told me this, but I know she does it for me. Pray for one another. Amen? Okay? But she'll have inconsistencies in her life, and the Bible will bring those to order in her life. Okay? And as far as her being a wife or a mother or whatever it is. Okay? Let's say in this church, we want to be consistent in this church and not go around with every wind of doctrine. Amen? So when Benny Hinn comes to town, I'm not saying, you know what, let's try that. I'm not going to tell you to try that. I'm going to tell you to stay away from there and pray for everybody that's going up there and get in the consistent part of your life, which is this Bible right here. And here's what I'm going to tell you. If you find the inconsistencies in your life, and I'm going to tell you something, you might be sitting here today and have not really decided whether or not you want to serve God the rest of your life or not. You may be sitting here today and haven't really figured it out yet. I want to encourage you. The harlot spirit will say, come on, let's just go, let's be free. God's saying, I want to plant you. I want to make you like a tree planted by rivers of living water so that your fruit will grow. That's what I want to do with you. And I want to encourage you today. If you hadn't decided yet, decide. Decide. Okay?
Hello folks, Pastor Mike here, and sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation, and some people just don't know what that is, and I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, You take over the reins in my life, and You be the Lord of my life, and You give me the promise of Your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos, or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.